Welcome back to Zero Trust World 2025. In this final episode, we will be looking more at the education side of the event. We're talking to Know Before and Try Hack Me. We also go on a little adventure with some new podcasting friends.
Well, here's some news. The Cybershow have a special offer to share with you, thanks to our friends at ThreatLocker. We've got $200 off registration for Zero Trust World 2026. Yay! And the code you'll need is ZTWCybershow26.
Got to go out for a night in the wilds of Florida with our very good friends from Adopting Zero Trust podcast. So we managed to get out and go to Player One, which is a vintage game store. It was so much fun. It was great. We drank beer quite a lot, and it was good beer as well. So you can tell the English people that the Americans have caught up. We do have craft beer there now, and it's good. We played Mario Kart, of all things, and the good old-fashioned Bomberman, which was really cool. While we sat there and we just nerded out and we just talked about cybersecurity with Neil and Elliot, and my God, would we do that all night? And also played a lot of games. And, you know, we're talking game theory while we're playing games together. It was a really exciting night. And we got to meet real Americans, and they were terrified of us, because when you get two cybersecurity podcasts in a room and someone starts talking about the NSA, they all start freaking out. And they're all like, well, let's go up the other end of the bar right now and leave everyone to them. So here's a free pint of beer. I'm going to go change a barrel. Please don't scare my patrons anymore, kind of vibe. Ed wasn't allowed to drink because they didn't believe he was over 21, which was quite funny.
Apparently, a UK driving license is not good enough.
Didn't you know that, Ed? Like, that you were definitely going to get ID'd and refused alcohol in America, and you needed to kind of seriously,
I didn't know we were actually going out and leaving the resort, and I only had my wallet in my back pocket, which has only got my driving license in it, so I didn't actually bring my passport with me.
Yeah, because you had trust in the hotel, which I have zero trust in. It lives on me at all times and only comes out of my pocket.
It was just hidden obscurely somewhere in the hotel room, so I was trusting that more than losing it at the conference.
But yeah, we had a great time. So we went out, we played all these games, and we chatted cybersecurity. And then we came back and we went to the sports bar, and we had a whole VR center, and the lads were playing some sports there while I sat and I chatted to a female astral engineer who's moving into cybersecurity. So this is the kind of event you're at, you know. That's an attendee. She did astral engineering, and now suddenly we're moving into cybersecurity, because that's such a big part of what they do in Zero Trust. It's really important there as well. So although it was like super fun and we had a great time and we got to go out and experience proper America with really good beer, really good music, we came back to the hotel and we spent a lot of our time with ThreatLocker, their staff, and all the attendees all munched up together in this complete takeover of a sports bar, which was just amazing. And they don't do things small, do they, Ed?
No, nothing at all. Everything is just massive. It's like literally stereotypical America, which I quite enjoyed seeing in person.
It was fun being in the VR, but you sit there and you think, how many screens have we got?
Yeah, I was like, how many screens have my eyes looked at or tried
to
look
at? Why are the seats glowing?
That game arcade looks totally awesome.
It's so cool.
I'm so jealous of that bit. You would have had to drag me out of that place.
It felt like that. It was like, we should probably go now or we'll miss, you know, the things we're meant to sort of be doing. Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. And I really hope that we get to go and spend more time with Neil and Elliot, because they're great. And Elliot's so funny. He just produces things like that you need. So I was like, oh, I need a hairband. Yeah, it's hot over here. And then that night, he just produced one out of his pocket, you know.
It was out of the mystery machine that was in one of the pictures that we've just seen.
And then they went to a shop and found some ducks, which were like our exact like podcast representations of ourselves. And he's like, hold your hand out. And you're like, okay. So yeah, really, really fun. And again, just in the taxi was quite a funny thing, because again, you've got, what, four experts in cybersecurity all trying to like talk the filthiest stories in security they can. And the taxi driver's like, I can barely drive the car right now. Juicy, like, what's happening? Are you guys famous? Hey, well, we do this for a living. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to turn up right now. This is great. Tell me more.
Yeah, it was a great evening.
It just sounds like a really, really awesome party that ends in video games. And so I get a bunch of techie people together and it's pretty explosive like that, I think.
Yeah, it was a really supportive event as well, and it was really well thought out. I think a real festival atmosphere, and it was great just to talk about tech with people, security, and just enjoy the stunning venue that they hosted us in, the tropical location. As Helen said earlier, it was mine and Helen's first time in America too, so it was just great to meet like-minded people from across the globe, and Threat Locker just looked after everyone so well and got us all together, put on all these amazing events, and yeah, we just all had fun together as attendees. And where else can you go and have lunch with engineers, CEOs, students, sales, MSPs, and just discuss whatever you want around the table together? And it's such a great environment. And also, what tech worker doesn't enjoy a comic book cosplay? So that as well.
Education was also a really big part and a really big aim of the conference, actually. And you've probably seen the sign floating around a couple of times that say it is the leading education conference in certainly the US, but maybe even the world as well. I'm sure a few universities would argue that point. But it's aimed at closing the skills gap in a non sort of academic environment. And it's about learning not just their products, but learning about other products and how those integrate and how systems integrate and how operating systems integrate, and to do a little bit of hacking. So if you've never done it before, it's a really good place. You could just drop in, you could take some hacking labs, do some classes, watch demos, partake in lectures, and you can actually go and get your exam as well and train up as a cyber hero. So it's always good when you know, get your boss to pay for you to go to a conference, and you come home with an exam and there's a massive party he didn't know about slammed in the middle, which is just great. And if you're a student, that's what you're going to want to do, isn't it? Go and learn and have fun at the same time. And we speak to quite a few students. In fact, me and Ed got accused on a number of times of being students and had to politely remind them that academics do look strange in England, and they are.
Yeah, they definitely learned a lot of value from the event as well, chatting to them, and not just with Threat Locker, Cyber Heroes boot camps, but the education from the exams and the classes that you just mentioned, and working alongside some of the biggest players in cyber education. Speaking of, we also caught up with Know Before.
If you haven't heard of Know Before, where have you been? They are the biggest provider of cybersecurity education inside our offices and businesses. So, Daniel, can you tell us all about Know Before and the human side of cybersecurity?
Yeah, we help with we're a human risk management platform to help educate end users on best practices around email security. So making sure that your users know what to look out for when they're targeted by bad actors, right?
That's awesome. So what are you most excited to see today?
We've been interacting with a lot of the other vendors here, so kind of just sharing, hearing about best practices, hearing what our users are running into, and, you know, how we can help them, you know.
What does zero trust actually mean to you?
Zero trust to me? Being as wary as possible about any sort of incident or anything that's coming into attack.
Cool. So how does Know Before help tackle the so-called computer dinosaur in the workplace who absolutely refuses to set decent passwords and will do things like load up their own emails instead of their work emails in the office?
You know, through education, right? So just-in-time education, whether that's, you know, on the fly, they're getting some sort of coaching tip for doing something, or, you know, through advanced education as an employee's onboarding or onboarded. Letting them know what best practices are in that organization in particular so that they feel ready and prepared.
What would the, say you had a top tip for cybersecurity to give to anyone, maybe someone who's not very experienced in tech or maybe even a professional now, what would you say to them to keep themselves most secure?
Well, we've got a little piece over there. It's a little wristband. It says don't click on stuff. That's probably the best tip. Be wary. Like you said, zero trust, kind of. Don't click on anything you don't know about, and make sure you're familiar with who's sending it and all that kind of stuff.
So the recent statistics showed that 90% of cyber attacks are actually through that human element. So do you feel that this space is going to grow exponentially over the next 20 years, or is AI going to come in and help to help that education and actually decrease that issue?
Yeah, it's going to be a very collaborative thing to have the AI element with the human. So it's being able to tailor maybe the training around that individual, or being able to tailor with AI to the emails that they're actually receiving. So it's going to be a huge value add, and it's really going to help that end user be educated in their own environment, right? So maybe one user is being hit a little bit more with impersonation attacks. Educating that user on those impersonating attacks, for that person and not just generalizing everything, right?
I guess an AI is going to be able to pick up an AI better than a human can in the next decade, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Fighting the fire with fire, right? Maybe? I don't know.
And one last question. What's your super comic book character costume for the party tomorrow?
Oh, goodness. I didn't.
Oh no! Someone's running out buying a costume right now.
Yeah. I got Amazon Prime, right?
Okay, yeah. They'll deliver pretty quick. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Daniel. Yeah.
They're like, they're a bit like us. They want people to know stuff before it's gonna mess them up, right?
So, no before a hack.
But that's what that isn't that that's the thing, isn't it? No before, yeah. No before the shit's gonna happen, yeah. What's the prescience, intelligence, foresight, that kind of thing? That's a good quality. Yeah, you need that insecurity. It's good to you know, it's the whole left of bang philosophy. Is that see shit that's coming and avoid it, right? So it's good to know things before they're a problem.
And we were also lucky enough to talk to Try Hack Me, who it turns out the directors are alumni with Andy and Helen, which is great to find out. And they really understood the same educational problems that we faced in 2018 and set out to improve learning and accessibility to cyber education when they were both students.
Yeah, that's what we love to hear. So we've got two students, one at UCL, one at Portsmouth, just for the alumni both there, who just realised that it's really, really difficult to learn that technology side of things when it comes to cybersecurity. We do lectures and we understand the concepts, and then it's just, here's your laptop, go for it. Here's a Raspberry Pi, try and explore. And some students really struggle to do that. I know that me and Ed certainly didn't struggle to explore computers. It's something that we wanted to do. But it goes against the grain of everything that you're sort of taught in your early years. So if you are struggling with that ethical side, how do you learn it and how do you do that sort of with a guide that doesn't feel over convoluted, with a guide that is accessible? And that's what Try Hack Me did. And they started only in 2018 and they are absolutely massive at the moment. And it's actually one of the biggest parts of why it's so big is because it's actually free at the point of delivery. Anyone can go on there, straight onto their applications and start learning not just how to hack things, but also how to protect things. And I multiple times have put people in offices on their Windows course, because actually it teaches you how to get around the system and what some of those basic settings and functions do, and why we do what we do in security. So when you're struggling with someone who's struggling with that technology, it's actually really good to have this really simple, really educational platform where they can learn some actually really difficult things. And that's what Try Hack Me are actually really good at doing. And they want to spark curiosity. That's one of their most important things. And they are community driven. It's one of those almost like an open platform model where we are all contributing. If you know you're using it a lot, you pay your £8 or £12 a month. And it just helps everybody else below you. So if you are going to go out and learn it, definitely support it. Especially support things that are free at the point of delivery that aren't designed to spy and steal all your data.
So let's go and see what we said with Try Hack Me.
Tell me a bit about what you do at Try Hack Me and what Try Hack Me do.
Yep, I'm one of the co-founders of Track Me, along with Ben. Unfortunately, he was not here today. Track Me is an online platform that is training the next generation of cybersecurity practitioners. So we want to make it as easy and as affordable as we can for people to learn the right attack and defense skills to get a job in cyber.
And we know all about that on the Cyber Show, because we do education too, and we've been doing it for a long time. And we found Try Hack Me years ago, and we just bummed off all of the stuff that the universities gave us that was awful. And we told all the students, if you want to learn hacking, go to Try Hack Me. It's not going to break the bank, and they'll actually take you through step by step, and you'll get to the end, and then you can just plug in your Linux and you're good to hack all your shit in your house. Right? Another explicit. Oh,
that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, the aim really is to tell people, hey, you know, if you don't go to like Greg's or Starbucks like twice a month,
right,
you can get lots of free hacking and you can get a job out of it, right?
And then you can buy as many Starbucks as you like with the good wages that cybersecurity give you.
Exactly.
And in the UK, we're the leaders of cybersecurity education worldwide and cybersecurity professionals, and you're having a massive part and a massive role in that across the entire country. And we need to get that out across the entire world at this point.
Thank you. Yeah, there's still such a long way to go. You know, when we started Try Hack Me, cyber still wasn't well known. I think people are doing better at recognizing it as a potential career opportunity.
Absolutely.
But there's just the tip of the iceberg with how far we can spread the word.
And we know that we in the UK last year, they posted that documentation that said that 47% of businesses couldn't find the employees they need, and that 20% of their employees were not skilled enough. And it's like, you do know that there are companies out there where you could potentially spend absolutely almost nothing and put your staff through that training, and it would cost you less than dealing with the problems that they've caused. So education is the most important thing in harder subjects, and it is so vital that we have access to it. And that's what you do. You provide access that's digestible and easy, step by step.
Yeah, and the aim of, like, I think really is also to make it fun, right? Because right. Like you said, right, I mean, there are a lot of people who will say, here's this giant textbook, or here's this like 15-hour video, why don't you go watch it? And security is important, right? We want people to be solving problems so that they don't get breached and the company doesn't go broke. So it's really important to make sure people are learning and absorbing what they have in front of them, right, from a cyber perspective.
Absolutely. I don't know if you know, I'm going to like say this now. I've been putting staff members through your Windows Fundamentals course for the last, like, 6 years or something. It's insane. For a long time, because they didn't know how to use it. It's like, right, you're going to do part one of this course, and I will just pay for it at this point because the boss has not called it. But it taught them so much, and it's managed to protect people who say that they're dinosaurs. Oh, no, I can't do that. And I'm like, you can. I'm going to set you on it, and you're going to learn. And it was so important to help people just understand how their computer actually operates. You don't need to be a techie to use TryHackMe. It can help you learn OSs. It can help you do your job better, even if you're on reception, and that is so important.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the most fulfilling part about working at TryHackMe is we hear really incredible stories of people who get into TryHackMe. So we've heard stories from nurses, English teachers, construction workers, who have say very non-traditional backgrounds when it comes to tech, right? And they manage to acquire skills, get jobs at cyber, they triple their salaries, and they're right. Fulfilled. So completely right in that there's such a big misconception that you need to really be a core computer scientist or a tech person. But honestly, all you need is time. You need a little bit of energy and more persistence to really break through it. And anyone can do it, truly.
Absolutely. You just need that thirst for knowledge and that thirst for learning. And we've made it seem internationally that cybersecurity and hacking is really hard. And we did that on purpose because we didn't want everyone going out breaking into everything. But it's come at a cost. And it's come at a cost of not having the staff that we need around the world just when we need them. So we need way more investment in education like this across the board in order to tackle that problem and get those people in those seats. And you're doing a really big role in that.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, and I mean, it's a team effort, right? There are people like you out there that are also doing the good work. You know, we really need governments to adopt security education at like a core high school level. So
with funding.
Exactly. So there's such I think we have such a long way to go to get security training really embedded at the right stages, because ultimately it's about encouraging the right people at the right stage of their life, whether you're kids, whether you're career switchers, whether you're actually retired. So there's definitely a ton more work to do out there.
We just did a class with year 8s, which are 13 to 14 year olds, and they were all like, oh, you're hackers, that's cool. But they didn't know a lot, and when you told them, about 8 of them were like, right, that's it, I'm doing cyber. And it's just like, we need everyone in the West to be going out and getting to children when they're 14, and they're told, you have to decide what you want to do for the rest of your life. They need exposure to more than just science and English.
Yes.
Like, there is so many more jobs. Like, all those skilled jobs, people don't even know they exist. Yeah. So, like, we need that funding worldwide to tackle this issue. Absolutely. Mm.
Yep, I agree.
I was just going to ask, what does Zero Trust mean to TryHackMe?
That is a good question. So purely from like a security perspective, we take security quite importantly at TryHackMe. We're 100 people now, so we want to make sure that whether you are in sales or marketing, we get everyone at the company to go through TryHackMe in their first 30, 60, 90 days. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're like, I think like a lot of what good security comes down to is security, good security hygiene.
Right.
And zero trust is part of good security hygiene, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you make sure that the systems you're running are running with the least privilege? People don't really have access to the right things. And ultimately, you know, for me, zero trust also comes down to like just good network segmentation, right?
Yeah.
So we've been reading a ton of reports from CrowdStrike and Palo Alto talk about threat actors. And one of the reasons these attackers do get in is because there's no good zero trust in how all these networks are set up, right? So for us, it comes down to security hygiene. It comes down to making sure at different stages of an org, that's what that looks like. And it's so exciting to be here at Zero Trust World with ThreatLocker, seeing them really pioneering what good zero trust looks like across the industry.
And that's what we've noticed as well. It's when you bring everybody from the West into a building and you talk about zero trust, the one thing that's come out across the, all of it is community. Yes, there is people that we don't trust, but we need people that we do trust. And when we do trust those people, we need to communicate and build that really strong community between ourselves. So it's almost like a very intelligent cult, but it needs to be.
I think the most exciting part for me was there are a lot of people here who, I guess, like, aren't core security practitioners, but security is still a big part of their job, right? Call it like network engineers, people who work on IT, you know, people who work on support and who work on help desk. And I think security is such a big part of their role. And the fact that zero trust is being embedded across the org, and it's not this abstract security concept that's there and people don't know what they're doing, right? So it's been so cool talking to people about how security is really part of their day-to-day work. And even though they're not, don't have security in their title, or they don't work in the security team, they're really thinking about it, and it's front and center of them at their role.
Absolutely.
And if our viewers wanted to try Hack Me, where would you suggest that they go, and how can they maybe get started, and what should they try with?
Yeah, no, so Track Me is free to start. You know, you don't to get access to all of Track Me, it's around $14 a month or £12 a month. And even then, I think around like 60% of our content is still free. So all you need to do is sign up, and you know, it just takes a couple of minutes, and we'll spin things up for you, and we'll make that experience as fun for you as possible. We also have a big community on Reddit, on Discord. You know, there are a ton of people that do Try Hack Me on YouTube and Twitch as well. So if you don't have time and you just want to see what it looks like, right, I'd recommend, you know, browsing all these forums just to get an understanding of what are other people's experiences with what this looks like. And if you're more of the doer type, just jump in and try it, and we'll make it as fun as we can for you.
Amazing.
I think what we really saw there is that we're discussing with an educator to another educator in the UK, which is actually one of the biggest providers of cybersecurity education in the world. We're talking about how we're struggling. We're struggling to get government-backed funding to go out into state-sponsored schools, state-backed schools, and give them the education that the education secretary would like us to give. So there's this huge disconnect. We're asked to do it. We're willing to do it. We're happy to go and do it. And we love doing it. But we can't get the funding to do it. And it feels that we're being asked to do something completely for free and just sort of give up all of our time. So I guess we're trying to work out, how do we fix that worldwide? Because what are the values of education? Why are we teaching people to hack?
There's a huge, like you said, there's a huge hunger for this. And everybody now has realized, wow, we're going to have a new wave of digital literacy. We're going to have to all get our kids very, very smart about tech and the threats that come with it. The future of society kind of depends on it, and nobody's giving us money to go out and do that kind of education. So it's a real tragedy in the making, right? And very, very frustrating indeed for educators. Yeah,
absolutely. And we say things on the national stage like, oh, we're going to be the leaders of AI. Great, where's the AI education? Don't do that at school level. Well, but the school children are already using AI models to do their homework, and you're not teaching them how to do it. That's like when I went and used Wikipedia for all my schoolwork, and it took 5 years for my teachers to work out why I'm getting A star suddenly. this is a huge disconnect. We get this technology, we don't train teachers or the students how to use it, and we just expect them to adapt and to learn. And that's where those digital harms come from. And we're having to deal with so much of that as a fallout as well. It's just awful what's happening in that area.
And many, many parents too, like, because what you see is, like, say right now there's these incredible mixed messages of, should I give my kid a phone so that they stay safe, or should I not give them a phone because the phone will make them unsafe? And you know, this so much debate and discussion has been long overdue, and it's all happening at once, and there's very, very little clear guidance from real experts about you know, what's going on inside those things that you think are benevolent phones, you know.
And I think even looking back to sort of 2011, I don't even think it's like a lot of school teachers are aware of, even not like IT teachers, they're aware of the risks that are out there in terms of cybersecurity. And my school actually assigned like a digital leaders group, and it was to try and like pull the students and the staff together about cyber risks and kids in education. But a lot of the time I just ended up helping teachers like how to turn projectors on and off and things like that.
Don't forget, I now live in the cyber digital city. So I live in a digital city. It's the first council ever in the UK, probably at this point in the world, to be given money, budget, actual funding to go out into schools and actually getting paid essentially to go and do that and to put on these classes. But it is so slow. Mm. And TryHackMe have been around since 2018. They're offering free education, and they still can't get the assistance that they need. They're ready. Honestly, it was, you know, we had a private conversation. They're essentially, they could roll this out across every single school into every IT department, but the funding and the willingness essentially to get that out there is just non-existent. And it's real shame, because you could incorporate this into that GCSE, which is now very heavy cybersecurity, and you'd have a much broader range of educated people to fill that school's skills gap from college. And that would just be fantastic. Yeah, and it's really, really clear. It's the same thing we found in our research, that the right age really to start engaging in this conversation is around 13-14.
Even
younger, you know. I kind of so into the fact that there's education is extremely culturally powerful from primary school level, and my massive big up to all the educators out there that are kind of in cybersecurity. I think we're leading this field in many ways, because it is, cybersecurity happens at the interface between technology and people.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of why all the interesting stuff is happening, and how each generation get to see technology and incorporate it feeds into their model of security and what it means to be a citizen, what it means to be responsible, what it means to take care of each other, all of these things that are real security, like what we call civic cybersecurity, right? That's where technology is part of the fabric of a society. And, you know, it can't be isolated from all of those other social aspects, you know. So educators are doing really good, but we are really, really struggling for money. Yeah, totally. And like, but it's good news that Portsmouth are kind of on the radar, isn't it? Because we've done a bit of work for a Portsmouth school, and that went quite well, huh?
Yeah, it's part of that digital city movement. And again, that's where TryHackMe was founded as well. So I do think that you've got a strong university there with those Navy, it's the home of the Navy. And as a result of that, there is a lot of technical advancement going on, and it is actually reaching the council, because it is such an important part of our makeup. And that needs to spread out to all the other cities that we support and we look after as well. And it's good to see that. Strange it didn't happen in London first, to be honest.
Strange it didn't happen in Bristol, to be honest with you. I would have thought of a place where an alternative, you know, civic cyber movement would have come from. It would have been Bristol.
Right.
But I guess in Dorset, we still count as West Country, don't we?
Yeah. You're only next door. But it's the Navy, I guess. You know, they understand the importance of securing our nation, and they're really helpful at making sure that we know what we're doing here in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I'd just like to thank sincerely our event host, ThreatLocker, for arranging one of the best events of the year, both in the education, with understanding what you do and how Zero Trust work, but also it was really fun too, right?
Yeah, and we'd also love to thank all of our amazing guests that we had on this episode, from Tech Degenerates, TryHackMe, SpectreX, NinjaOne, Hats AI, and No Before.
Some news for you guys. Cyber Show have a special offer, a discount of $200 off a Zero Trust World 2026. Yay! The code you'll need is CTW Cyber Show 26.
Safety override code.
There you go. So what's your real life superhero?
Hopefully not villain job.
I am in a tour sales. I actually work for a
lot.
Awesome. I'm awesome.
Well, you're helping us save the world, so really, you're like an anti-villain.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
But I like to pretend to be a villain because it's more fun.
My real superhero job.
It's all superheroes here tonight, right?
I actually do a lot of charity work, believe it or not. I'm on the board of directors for the Western Pennsylvania Weed Disorder Foundation.
Amazing! That's the second best. We had another Superman. He saves children. So, like, you're like
sports you can.
Yeah.
I'm a semi-professional paintball player, and yeah. I'm running around with nothing but a sword. So it's the best way to bring awareness.
Put them up.
And I try to get money for people that don't necessarily